Hey, what's happening, cultivators? Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Hope you're all doing super well. We've got a really great episode here today. We have the one and only Tristan Langwinski with Midwest Best. So from the get-go, Cultivated Genetics was really trying to get a more breeder-centric type of a cultivar library. What better way than to do that than to get those cultivars into tissue culture and through the cultivated nursery? So what we're going to be working on mainly is trying to get more breeders onto the platform, because you guys all know and love their cultivars that they're putting out in seed form, done some amazing work. Tristan's actually been acclaimed by High Times and won several awards. So what I really wanted to focus on was getting the breeder story, talking a little bit about the backstory of how they came about the project, and really just being able to provide clean clones and some really exotic cultivars for the public market. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Tristan. Tristan, take it away.
Yeah, so I guess I'll start at the beginning. I started breeding and growing when I was 17, which was about 7 years ago. I'm 24 now, so pretty young guy in the game. Basically, the very first experience that I had with breeding was you know, what some people would just call pollen chucking, I guess. And that was in, in my basement in Indiana. That was years ago. Ever since then, I've had just sort of a love for, doing a little more than just growing, because some cultivators never really get to that point of, I guess it's like a curiosity that pushes you to that point. As I said, ever since, that's been the name of the game for me, is just kind of pushing the game to the next level, trying to not only cultivate but breed the next best thing, the next thing that people are going to be talking about.
And Tristan, you touched on something that was super intriguing. So the precursor to this Zoom meeting, and guys, I just want to first off apologize for any of the quality. Obviously, I would have loved to be there in real life with Tristan, but we're in quarantine life now, so we're just going to try to get this content out in a Zoom recording fashion. But going back to what you'd mentioned about the initial project, you were breeding in your basement in Indiana. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Typically, when I say that to people, their first question is that even legal? And no, it's not. It's not legal. Obviously, we've all got to start somewhere. I was actually living with my dad at the time. Still, like I said, I was 17, my dad was always super supportive of me wanting to do this. I guess he kind of saw, he saw the vision beyond just like what some people saw it as, which was basically like, it's just somebody who wants to sell and smoke weed. Of course that was a thing, but it was like much more than that for me. Like I said, it was a passion that I always had. When I got started, like I said, I was just growing. I was for personal, and obviously I was selling to my friends and whatnot. But then I guess I got to a point where like I was buying a lot of seeds because I couldn't source clones in Indiana. So I would have to grow from seed. Everything was always from seed. I was buying from the Attitude Seed Bank, which is a European based seed bank for people who don't know. I got to a point where I'm buying all these seeds. And then I'm thinking like, obviously these seeds come from somewhere. And like, obviously this is something that people are doing, not only to make money, but because they're passionate about it and that's what they want to do. And there are people who are making a living from doing what they love to do, which is breeding. So I did just a little bit of basic research on it. Like Instagram 7 years ago obviously wasn't the same that it is right now. And so I basically was just going, I think the forum of choice at the time for me was like rollitup.org or something. Like they had like several different forums. So, you know, I would just sort of like surf between the forums and pick up any information that I could for breeding. And, you know, I just got to a point where the first breeding projects I did, I had purchased like one of the very few packs of archived seed banks, Do-Si-Dos. And like, you know, I paid $850 for the pack of seeds. And so I'm just thinking like, there's gotta be something that I could do with this pack of seeds beyond just, you know, just growing them and holding cuts of them. Like I wanted to do something special because obviously it was a pretty expensive pack of seeds. And other than that, like I said, I just had that passion for it. So, you know, I found what I thought was like a cool male at the time. And I had like a few other nice females that I had hung on to over the last few months of, you know, getting, I got a couple cuts from friends and whatnot. And then basically, like I said, I just found a male and I just did what the plans do. They just, you know, they pollinate each other. So kind of just let it happen. And then, you know, I got the seeds out of there and I was just like, I don't know. It was like a different experience, you know. It was something that I was like, okay, I want to do this again because now I've got these seeds and something else is going to come from that, whether I grow them personally, or, you know, another thing that I wanted to talk about was like where the passion comes from is like knowing somebody else somewhere in the world is going to be growing this. Like, it's not going to be me right here, but like, it's, you know, you've got somebody else that's basically telling your story through seed form somewhere else in the world, which is pretty cool.
That is really cool. You know, and that's one of the things that I was going to ask you is like, what inspired you to get the Cherry Do-Si-Do, you know, bred into that kind of a platform? Because obviously you catch on to trends, you start seeing some things or some cultivars that are really making it in the industry, right? So how does the market and the trend kind of dictate what your project led to? Or talk to me a little bit about the Cherry Do-Si-Do.
Yeah. So to start the answer to that question, I guess I would say, like the trends in cannabis, I think a lot of breeders are like afraid to say like the trends are dictating what we're all working on, but you know, that's any business though. Like, so, you know, that's something I definitely like to keep in mind. Like, it's cool to breed things that are like, you know, it's cool to breed things that are true to you and what you look for in a plant, but it's also cool to mix it up and, you know, like take something that's hot, you know, in clone only form and introduce it into something that you've been breeding with or something that you like. So that's where the Cherry Do-Si-Do comes from. I got a clone from Ice Extract Equipment, which is at the time they had a different name, but they no longer go by that. And they make extraction bags. And at the time, they had this really cool cut that they just called the Cherry. They just kept saying the Cherry. And it was Granddaddy Purple crossed to Cherry Pie. And I believe it was from seed stock from Dungeons Vault Genetics. And I just loved it because, you know, I would always get like flower version of that from them. And you know, I would take it home and all my friends would be like, yeah, like that's where it starts, you know. It's like all your friends looking at something like, damn, like this is something, like
this is it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like the one that, you know, you've got 10 different bags and then that one like everybody picks up and they're smelling it and they're looking at it, breaking it open, and it was always that one. It was like the showstopper. Like, you know, you come through with like those nugs and they were just so dense and frosty and like colorful and they smelled great and they smoked great, just everything about it. So that was like the Cherry, what they called the Cherry. And at the time, Do-Si-Dos was like one of the hottest strains out. You know, Archive Seed Bank obviously always been doing his thing. And NorCal IC Mag always obviously has been doing his thing too. Like I said, when I picked up those seeds, like, you know, I wanted to do something more than just, you know, just grow it out and hold a cut. So like that's where I sort of put two and two together. I was like, okay, this, you know, this cherry cut is really special. And the Do-Si-Dos is obviously something that people are interested in, and it's for good reason. You know, it had been something that I smoked at the time too. So it was like, you know, it just made sense. I just, I found that male that I really liked. And I think it was from actually two packs of the Do-Si-Dos. And like when I got the packs in, they were fat. They were like 14 seeds per pack, you know? So like there was like a total of 28 seeds that I popped. I found like one female that I liked, and I found that one male that I really liked out of there too. So I took that, I took that pollen from there and I just dumped it all over the cherry. And yeah.
Tell me about that male selection process. Like, what were you looking for that said that's the one?
So at the time, like I was just doing research to see, what other people, you know, like what, that was one of my first questions is like, how do you pick the male that you, you know, that's what most people's question is. Like, how do you pick a male? Like, if it doesn't have buds, like, you know, obviously like female flower sites, like how, what are you looking for? If it's not like, and so I was like looking up a lot of things and that's where it sort of started to click with me because, it's basically what I'm looking for in a male is whatever the female isn't bringing to the table or whatever the group of females would need, you know, added to the selection. Typically that's going to be a male that just reeks, something that's like, you don't have to walk up to it and feel it or anything like that. Like it's just reeks. You walk up to it while it's in veg still sometimes. And it's just got, it's obviously not the same smell as like a female bud, but it's the plant, it just smells super like pungent, you know? So that's one thing I look for. Another thing is structure, obviously, you know, you want something that's going to be that, you know, you don't want to pick something that's going to add a whole lot of like a whole lot of stunted growth or like runts, not the strain, but the, you know, like we don't want a bunch of like little, like stunted growth plants coming out of it. So that's one thing. I'm trying to think what else off the top of my head. One thing that I've seen that's controversial that I've seen several breeders going back and forth on is whether or not you want a male to produce resin. Because I've used a male that produced resin before, and I've seen a lot of people say that that those types of males basically introduce hermaphrodite traits into the seed stock, into the progeny. And to be honest, I don't know. I don't know if that's 100% true or if there's some truth to it or whatever it may be, but that's something I was looking for in the past because, you know, that was honestly one of the first males that I had seen that had that much resin on it, which was a watermelon Skittles male. But at the time that cherry Do-Si-Dos, it didn't have any resin, but it was just a super, the structure was great. I loved the structure on it. It smelled like crazy in veg. And it just spit a ton of pollen, super fat pollen sacks. And, you know, I was just like, this is the one. So I just picked it, went with it.
That's awesome. You know, so speaking about that veg process, like when, obviously we're going to be putting this cherry Do-Si-Dos out in clone form, pathogen free, first generation. So it's going to be vigorous, right? Like talk to me, let's educate the, the community about what to expect of the cherry dosidos in veg. What are some of those traits that you can talk about?
So the cherry dosidos is super vigorous. It grows a little bit, I don't want to say lanky, but it does like to get, you know, it throws some super long stalks, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad or a good thing. You know, it's just one of the traits. And you know, if you show the cherry dosidos love, and I know you guys will, and I think that you're going to see only, you know, only very strong, it's going to, basically what I'm saying is it's going to veg like a beast, you know, it definitely throws down. And one thing I like about the cherry is that it, you know, it can even handle like a little bit of stress in that veg, you know, in that veg state. Like it's just, it just comes out of it so fast. I just picked up some of those from Node Labs as well. And, I threw them into some soil and they're like, they just shoot up. They just love to grow, you know?
So how many days would you say to keep them in veg?
I mean, I guess it just depends on how big of plants you want. I mean, it'll just keep growing, and it likes to grow upwards a lot. You know, it's not like a super short, squatty plant. And it likes to branch out a lot. So that's a good thing for, you know, obviously people who are really trying to work those trellises and get a lot of, bud sites, because like I said, it does really well in veg, and, yeah.
That's good. So would you consider this to be like an 8 to 9 weeker or more of a 9 to 10 weeker?
Definitely 8 to 9.
Okay. That's good. So talk to me about the hunt. Like, obviously you said you popped around 2 packs of seeds, around 28 plants, right? So when you went through the pheno hunt process to find this particular cultivar that you had introduced to Node, and like, talk to me about that process. Like, what were some of those traits that you, that really recognized and you just started saying, that's the one?
What I was looking for is like the, I was looking for the mom a lot, because I missed that original like granddaddy perp and cherry pie. Like cherry pie is one of my favorite strains. I think I probably speak for a lot of people when I say that that's one of my favorite strains, like to smoke, not necessarily to grow, but you know, I love cherry pie. And so I was looking for that, for something that would show a little bit of that cherry through in it. And so that's definitely what I saw in this. But you know, what I like about this specific one is, honestly, for me, it's the potency, because I look at, like, I think what every breeder should look for is, like, at the end of the day, nobody wants to get an eighth of anything and smoke it, and it just doesn't quite get them where they want to be, you know? So that's one thing I love about this, is like, it's going to get you really high when you smoke it, you know, like that's at the end of the day, like that's what I think, you know, like what everybody should look for, to be honest. And another thing I was looking for is like that color, the colorful, you know, the purple, the, you know, like the red vein type thing. You know, like that, you break it apart and it's just colorful all throughout. So that's what I look for when I was hunting. And when I found this one, I knew it was the one because of the color, the smell on it's really nice. And like I said, it just gets you where you want to be.
That's great. So what kind of potency can we expect from the cherry dosidos?
It's definitely like a mid 20 strain. But it really, mid to high 20s, like 26-27%, and it really gets, you know, it gets super frosty all throughout. It's a super dense cultivar, so yeah, it's nice to break it apart and see some of those you know, those trichome heads coming out.
That's cool, man. So love it. We are super pumped to get the cherry dosidos out there to the community. Talk to me a little bit about the melonade. I know that's one that you're working on, and actually you just got some some Gen Zero moms back from Node Labs that are all cleaned up. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, the melonade is watermelon, Skittles, to lemon tree. I reversed a lemon tree clone and pollinated it to a watermelon Skittles female. And basically the rest is history. You know, that's obviously one of my, you know, I would say my most famous cultivars. Got a feature in High Times magazine, top 10 strains of 2019. You know, it's something that it's just really unique, and it came out. One of the things is like, it just came out right at the right time. Lemon tree was like super hot, but it was kind of starting to blow over a little bit. And you know, Skittles is obviously always like a big thing. So that watermelon Skittles in there was nice. And it's just a unique cultivar. It's got a, it's at least the new pheno of melonade that was hunted at Node Labs. It's like a very unique bubblegum kind of watermelon with just a little hint of lemon on the end. So it's hands down, it's one of the most unique cultivars I think I've come across. And I think, you know, it's going to, that M18, the Melonade 18 is, I think it's going to make some waves on its own, but I'm about to reverse that and make some crosses with that one, because I think it's really special.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. Just checking out some of the photos that you released of it. Definitely a hitter. So we're excited to potentially be working with that in the future as well. And, you know, it's just, Tristan, this is like one of those things that we're just so excited, because when we started Cultivated, it was about cultivating a bunch of different breeders' genetics, right? And really focusing in on the breeders per se. So that's really what this is. You are our inaugural highlighted breeder that we're going to be able to put through the Cultivated system. And what's cool about it, like we see the power of Node Labs, right? We see the great work that they're doing, cleaning up and restoring genetics. And especially with something like what you're working on, it's only going to give you that amplification, that power to really just give you what you need to continue your work and be able to cross this with that. And, you know, just talking a little bit about Node Labs and why you, or how you actually ended up getting your cultivars into that platform.
Yeah. So, the CEO of Node Labs, Dan, reached out to me. I would like to put a time frame on it, but honestly, I don't know. It feels like forever with the whole coronavirus thing and everything going on in the world. But yeah, Dan, you know, I've known Dan for a while. He's just a good dude. You know, you're just one of those guys you just get a good vibe from. In this industry, there's like a lot of people that sort of give you the opposite vibes and just not a whole lot of positivity when I think there should be more. But basically I met him, I could sense he was a good dude. And you know, we, at first it wasn't like a business exchange. It wasn't like I wanted to go drop cuts off to him to do this or whatever. It was more like, you know, let's link up, talk about some things, you know, see where it goes from there. So I met with him, I think Chris from Compound Genetics may have been there the first or the second time. But basically, you know, it just turned into a thing of like, he's like, you know, if you need somewhere to store genetics with us, like, that's, you know, obviously that's what we do, but like, that's something we can sort of help you build, like build your library. Mm-hmm. And I had been interested in tissue culture, but like, I knew nothing about it. And I still feel like I don't know a whole lot about it. But it was always something that interested me, because I guess sort of one of my anxieties as a breeder is like having all these really special things, but you know, things just get lost over the years. Like, it just happens. Like, you know, that's, and it's with anything. It's not just with cannabis strains. It's things just happen. You know, maybe you move, or you know, like plants die, things happen. So I guess like to be able to have everything in one place and to know that it's safe and to know that, you know, these plants are clean and healthy, has always been something that piqued my interest. So when Dan said, you know, we can do this for you, it was a no brainer for me. So, you know, I just started sort of cherry picking like my favorite things that I knew over the years I was going to want to have access to. And, you know, if a situation like with, you know, what we're talking about doing with you or what we started doing with Cultivated, if something like that came up, you know, maybe somebody wanted the cherry dositos and maybe I didn't have it. And that's something that, like I said, was always an anxiety of mine. So like I said, it was a no brainer. When he said he could do that for me, you know, I was all for it. You know, so ever since we've basically been, like I said, just taking the best of the best that I have and just building this library up.
I love it, man. I mean, that's exciting. When we appreciate you allowing this cultivar and multiple cultivars hopefully following to kind of come through the system, right? I think you see the value in other, like you said this in the beginning part of the conversation, you want to see other people work with your work. And that was something that is exciting to, you know, to us to be able to help amplify the power of the breeder, you know, and that's what's cool about this is that clone form is very hard to sometimes come by when you're talking exotics and especially going back to Node Labs, like they do some good work, man. They do a great pheno hunt, make sure that the genetics are stable before they release them to us and amplify them off into the marketplace. So yeah, man, we're proud. We're very happy to see that this is going in the direction that we're heading and, you know, just really pumped to see what's to come in the future with this.
Definitely, man. Same here. Like I said, it's, you know, it's one of the best things about breeding is seeing other people, at least for me, seeing other people work with your work and, you know, maybe even create the next best thing with one of your parents, you know? So it's like, I don't know, to me, that's part of the rush. That's part of the excitement in breeding. So, you know, when Dan talked to me and then when I talked to you, it was like, let's do this. Like, obviously talking to you, I could sense that we were like-minded in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I'm just excited. I'm excited to have some really great partners in this industry and be working with some of honestly the best people in the industry. So yeah, man, I appreciate it. And thank you for everything you do too.
Absolutely, man. Well, we definitely look forward to continuing and growing this relationship and releasing some awesome clean cuts to the community and seeing what we can come about. So hopefully, like you said, one day that somebody's going to come across your work and be able to come out with that next best thing. But, you know, most importantly, let's get it out in a clean format. And, you know, that's what Cultivated's here to do is help get the, first off the cherry dosidos out there. But, definitely. Well, what do you say, Tristan? Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap it up?
No, man, I think that's about it for right now.
Awesome, man. Well, just want to say thank you again and an official welcome to the Cultivated Familia.
Thank you, man.
All right, Tristan, we'll talk to you soon. Cheers. All right. Take care.
You too.